Podcast Viewfinder.
Are you still trying to protect me? Real or not real?
Real. Because that's what you and I do. Keep each other alive.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And I'm Mike.
Yay, we have a guest today. Special guest reading the part of Katniss Everdeen from that opening quote. That was from The Hunger Games. Mockingjay, part two.
Yes, you got it. Good
the
job.
Sequel.
The sequel.
It's the longest title. So, Mike, you are the head of school. Is that your official title?
That is the correct title,
not
yes.
The, just head of school.
Head of school?
There is no
yes.
The.
Not just all schools, but I am the head of school for Evansville Christian School.
Yeah.
I get to work with all these kids from pre-K up to 8th grade right now, looking to launch a high school. Plenty of staff that I get to work with. I am one of the few, I would say, probably in the country that absolutely loves their job.
Really? So, yeah, James.
I love your job too.
James and I hate our jobs. Yeah. But the church that we. James, wait.
I just got a promotion.
James is now a pastor.
Look, it says on my Bible.
Congratulations.
Last night, so we record this on Monday, so Sunday night, James became an official pastor. So the church that James and I are pastors at started Evansville Christian School.
We did.
Yeah, nice. So you can. How many years ago? How long has Evansville Christian School been?
41 years, 1975.
That's pretty good. I don't even know how long.
None of us were alive then, right? You
41? No, not quite. 36.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, 41 years in this building, and you know we've kind of outgrown the building in so many ways. We've been able to launch other campuses, and so now we operate three locations and have like up through 8th grade, and launched a true middle school campus 6th through 8th grade this year. And like I said, are in the middle of a high school fundraising project.
Yeah, and this year my daughter started pre-K. And so,
Oh, my goodness.
So actually today we went down there and
that was great.
All the kids dressed up as pilgrims and Native Americans. The teacher did say Indian, so you might want to work on your cultural sensitivity there.
Like,
so,
I have a kindergartner and a second grader in the school myself. And so I lived through the turkey lunch last year.
Yeah.
This year it's been dressing up as literature characters.
What?
And so it's been awesome.
Great, but but my daughter was like
fit.
She was starting to like crying, like because she came out and they like stand in front of the parents and like she didn't like the way like her outfit was itching or something, so like she's just sitting there and she's like, you could tell she's tearing up and like, oh, it's so sad.
Wait till
so
the funny. Teddy bear picnic.
Oh, what's that?
That's end of the year. I don't want to blow it.
Oh, man.
But ECS is great because they do a lot of parental involvement and all that, and so like you have philosophy about if you're just tuning into this podcast for the first time, we talk about worldview and the stuff going around the world around us. And so, Mike, today, like, I want to talk about like education stuff, but also adoption, because you guys are in that process. So we'll get to that later on. So the education thing, like, why involve parents in the education of a child?
You know, it is in kind of a newly minted voucher world where in Indiana, the state of Indiana has one of the most progressive voucher, policies or
so
programs.
So vouchers are where
yes.
Kids can go to private school.
So basically what the state does, and I'll come back and tie this into why I think family matters, okay? I'm just kind of taking a back door here. But the voucher program in Evansville or in Indiana basically is that the state of Indiana has a certain amount of money that they allot to each child, okay, based on kids that are in school. And instead of just funneling that money to the school that is the publicly funded school based on that area's population of kids that would go to that school, which is previously how schools were funded, this allows the money to follow the child. So basically it's the state saying, hey, we will allot this money for your child. And based on income guidelines here, we would give you this money to use at a school of your choice.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a very, very generous program. It has had a big impact on families because there are a lot of families that feel... Oh, James got a hand up.
James.
Just a lot of families that feel like, you know, they may even be in a very good school system, but that they want to lead their children in a worldview of this world that is outside of what we would call the secular world, a biblical worldview. So they want them to see the world through that lens of the gospel.
Yeah. So James, you had a question. You don't have to raise your hand.
So,
you can just chime in.
You got me thinking. So what about homeschool? Like, do I, can I vouch, can I send the money to homeschool? Like,
they
me?
No, they're so,
oh, man. Yeah, sorry, man. So you're saying if I had a ton of kids, they just won't.
You mean I can't get all that actually money back? Like accountability towards what? That money?
I, but I'm a like, great teacher.
Hold on, so like $3,000 in McDonald's.
So if I send my kid to public school, can I just take that money that would go
no,
to
not at all. No. Wow. No, they, I tell you, they have really strict guidelines on
Obama.
Things
that
you have to. Wow. Wow.
Just
there.
Are you gonna beat that out?
No,
okay,
no,
just checking.
No.
I'm just he already listens. Joe, he's a listener.
He already listens. He's a listener. Long time listener, first time caller.
Everybody listens.
So yeah, no, they, you know, you have to. You have to have, you know, you have to take iStep, you have to be accredited. So there's certain things that you have to be able to kind of measure to the same standards of the public school measurements. But yet we don't have to sacrifice on our worldview that we teach. And so, you know, as a school, our big mission for the school is really just to educate and equip students with a biblical worldview who are confident in engaging the culture and making an impact in the world for Christ. I don't believe that that can happen apart from having family and parent involvement. Yeah. And I say that because, you know, a lot of education, the education fix, it tends to be more policy, tends to be very teacher-driven, teacher-focused. Yeah. I'm confident that those will continue to just frustrate people because you can't prescribe a fix to manage tension. Like Nancy Ortberg has a book called Unleashing the Power of Rubber Bands, and she says that, you know, life is very rarely a series of problems to be solved, but tensions to be managed.
Wait, is that her quote, or is that Andy Stanley?
No, that's a Nancy Ortberg.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've heard Andy Stanley say it.
100%. Okay. Google it. 100%. Unleashing the Power of Rubber Bands. Is the
yeah,
book that
she
might have
stole it. Yeah. Okay, we'll keep going. So yeah, so the tensions.
Page 71. I don't know what else you want.
Oh, man.
I know. I'm sorry. Wow. Just went there.
Like, Christian speakers always steal each other's
things. I know. So. That's true.
I've stolen
it. It's all from Adam and Eve. So, you know, when we talk about just like what it means to have Chris, you come and be a part of this pre-K Thanksgiving feast program that our pre-K kids do, it just matters. I mean, there's something about parents that are trusting the teachers, teachers that are trusting the kids. We got this 4-prong approach. They're a lot like Legos, right? Like you can put a package deal together of parents, students, school, and the Lord. And if one of those little pieces fall off, it can still kind of function. But if two of those pieces aren't functioning, then it doesn't function the way it should. And so in the same way, man, we've got this instruction booklet, and families are part of God's plan to just develop strong, confident young men and women. And so why would learning matter? Why would school not just be a place that people have to come because the law says so, if there isn't a value of learning that is built up within the cultures of families?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and that's what we do, like, in our children's ministry and student ministry. Like, we want to partner with families because, like, we're at school, they're here 5 days a week. Church, they're here one, maybe two.
Right.
And that's if they're consistent churchgoers. We're at school, like, you have required attendance. I wish we could do that, church. Like, you got to be here. Like,
you better show up or you fail.
You got to be here 3 Sundays a month.
And you go not to
I think that's state-regulated religion is what that is.
Yeah. Hey. Obama, work on that.
So
2 for 2,
we're only 10 minutes in.
No, he listens, so he can make that happen. No, but
no, he does.
Yeah,
he
but
really
with,
does.
Because, yeah, and so with, like, you see it as important, and you've got students here 5 days a week, and you're able to talk to parents and all that. So we, as people in the church world, like, want to see kids and families, like, parents, really take that ownership of raising kids spiritually, because an hour a week, 2 hours a week isn't going to get their kids spiritually. And what you said, engaging in the culture.
Yeah.
So what, like, talk more about that, because that's a lot of what we talk about on this podcast.
Yes.
Because we want to engage the culture around us in a way that's not dumb. And so,
yeah, absolutely. You know, I have, you know, my son, I mean, here's the deal. My son is in, one of my sons is in second grade. My oldest son's in second grade, and his name is Isaac. And he, just in the last 2 years, when he was in kindergarten, he had to get glasses. And, you know, his mom was unfortunately born with 2 billiards balls as eyes. I mean, they just, like,
is this your wife?
Yeah, my wife.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
What does that mean? What?
In other words, she can't see worth jack. You know, I mean, her glasses. I mean, she just, there's no fix in those eyeballs. You know, so we knew one of our kids was probably gonna get it. So my wife, and luckily for my son, my first son, it was him.
Oh.
So, you know, he would come, and he would come to school, and he just started kind of saying things were a little, you know, things were a little blurry. And so we finally take him to the eye doctor, get him checked out, and lo and behold, his vision is already going south, just like my wife's. And hers got to a point where, I mean, she still, she wears glasses or contacts all the time, but she can't see a thing in front of her face. It's a foot from it. So Isaac, you know, he got glasses. I've put them on. They're fine. But, you know, one of the things is he grabs these glasses and he, you know, he gets to school and he's squinting and doing all this stuff. But as soon as he puts the glasses on, he sees things more meaningfully. He sees things more beautifully. He sees things more. As they're supposed to be, yeah. Right? I mean, he sees them the way that they are. When you touch something, it doesn't feel blurry,
right?
You know, and so the more that we can, and we talk to our boys about that all the time. That, you know, this, you just turn on the news, man. This play, you could get really depressed about the world,
yeah,
as it exists. And to me, the only thing that has ever made this world make sense when I turn on the news and see the problem of humanity is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, for me to be able to be leading my kids, not only just as their principal, I think that's too bad for them. Like, sorry, you know, but
wait, you're the principal or are you the head?
I'm both.
School?
I'm the supreme commander.
Oh, good.
Snoke.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a Star Wars Episode 7 reference.
Oh.
Yep.
Already.
So they. You know, we have just. It's important to me to know that my boys are not just even getting it at church, that they're not just, that we're not expecting others,
yeah,
to fill them, or and not expecting them age appropriately enough to fill themselves, but we as their parents want to make sure they have every opportunity to learn what it means not just to have a biblical worldview, but to think biblically. Yeah. And I think people that's a different thing. You can look to see the world through the lens of the gospel, but then when you start internalizing that, thinking biblically about that, you start to see that fruit. You know, I mean, yeah, you start to see what, you know, and I hate to use churchy words, but you start to see a change.
Yeah.
And you see the way people think, and you can kind of, it's like peeking inside a clear engine. You see the pistons moving.
And yeah, and that's why really we do this podcast, because we want kids to be able to like have meaningful conversations with their friends and say, okay, we watched this movie, but I'm like, when they're watching movies, when they're listening to music, TV shows, reading books, whatever, what is it that that movie is saying, or what's the worldview behind it? Like, what are they kind of pushing, and does that go against what the Bible says, or does that go with it? And there's always ways to kind of, I don't want to say twist it. I don't like the Jesus juke. I'm not a big fan, right, of like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But
Darth Vader. Was
what do you want for dinner?
Only God's love.
The bread of life.
He's really good at
fishes. So we are going to talk about some movies and music and all that stuff. Just because we talk about something doesn't mean we're recommending it, but we want you to be able to engage in the world around you. But so you're talking about turn on the news. I want to bring this up. So the biggest story of the news as of late has been the whole Syrian refugee thing. We're not going to get into that too much, but I do want to talk about that because there's this argument that Christians are making,
yeah,
that they're saying only allow Christians to come in to America. So, yeah. So Jeb Bush, who's a presidential candidate right now, is the Colbert Report had a thing like on this whole segment, like talking about should we allow them in and like, not, and so he kind of presented the different sides. But then he said, you know, these candidates, Jeb Bush and I think Ted Cruz, are, yes, the ones that are saying only allow Christian Syrian refugees to come in.
Yeah.
And so this lady interviewed him, and on the Colbert Report, she said, hey, what, like, how do you know? She said, how are you going to screen that? I was like, well, you can tell if somebody's a Christian. And he says, she said, how do you know? He said, I think you can prove it.
I think you can prove you're a Christian. How?
Yeah.
I think you can prove.
Yeah, he said, you can prove you're a Christian. She said, how? And he said, I think you can prove it.
And then it cuts.
So I looked up the clip because I was like, yeah, like, you just, like, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Yes or no? And that's like how you determine if somebody loves Jesus. So,
is it?
Yeah. Well, your fruit, as Mike would say. Yes. Yeah, no, but your lifestyle would reflect it. So I looked up the clip, and then in the actual clip, she says, like, can you prove it? Or how can you prove you're a Christian? And he's like, well, you can prove it. And she said, how? And he goes, he rolls his eyes and kind of does this shrug. He's like, I think you can prove it. But But the way that he's saying is like, it's obvious like that you can prove you're a Christian. Yeah. So, but when the Colbert Report played it, it was like, it was almost like he was like, well, I think you can. Like,
yeah, and so the way, the cutting and the angle.
Yeah, the twist.
Yes.
And so, and that's what, like, that's everything, right? Like, that's what happens in movies. There's always, like, there's the Christian principle, or there's the biblical principle.
Yeah.
Like, how God created stuff, and then the enemy, Satan, like, twist it. Like, yeah. There's just that little twist to make it just, because it glorifies ourselves and not other people. And so, it was just interesting watching that, because I don't know how many people watch Colbert. None of us. Have you ever watched it? You watch clips of it, James.
I watch clips.
You show me clips of it.
It's,
but
it's all right.
We're all Fallon people in here.
I know, man.
I love Jesus, actually.
Whatever. Earlier, when we were talking about Jesus, James. Yeah. So
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
it's the truth.
It's just interesting, like, because the... I don't know how many Christians out there saying, hey, don't allow me and only allow
there.
Christians in.
I don't know how many Christians there are.
I don't know that either.
We're done.
But because I was thinking about, because somebody posted on their Facebook page and was like, hey, I'm not weighing in on this. He was. And he said, he's like, just ask this question. He said, like, if we allowed all the refugees in there to come into America and one of them was a terrorist, would you still allow that? And then they're like, then he said, and then what if that one terrorist, you knew your child was going to die as a result of that one terrorist coming in? Would you still allow that to happen? I was like, oh, that's a good point. I mean, I was thinking about Jesus. I was like, I think he knew Judas was going to betray him, right? Like, he wasn't surprised by it. He wasn't like, ah, Judas!
Me too, Brute?
I always thought it was going to be Peter, and it's Judas? But but he's still, like, that still happened, right? So,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was just
what was supposed to happen.
Yeah, so maybe your kid is supposed to die on a
terrorist. Oh, wow. I don't know what we're allowed to talk about on this show. I thought we were going to talk about the real news.
Mike has left the podcast.
Mike's not here. He's going to disavow this whole thing.
Because I see both sides of it, but like it's...
Here's the deal, though. I mean, every decision that is made at that point is fear-driven. And that's the point, you know? Is that we have, I mean, you have people who, there's fear of the unknown, there is fear of unpredictability, and that is just, that's just how humanity reacts when they don't know. I mean, they run, they hide. I mean, first thing that Adam and Eve did when they were caught was they put clothes on, right? I mean, they tried to hide themselves.
Yeah.
And it is, it's fear-driven. And that's why I don't know if it goes back to just a, you know, tension to manage. I think culturally, we live in a culture that is just afraid to take risks in so many ways, you know? And especially risks for the sake of something that matters. Like, you know, we'd say, that's taking a risk on behalf of the gospel. We would say that, you know, look at scripture that says, hey, you know, come, let us take care. We got a Statue of Liberty holding this thing that says, give me your tired, your poor, the wretched refuse yearning to breathe free,
yeah.
Right? Unless they scare us.
Right? Yeah,
but that's the reality of it, and I don't know how. I mean, honestly, I don't know how you turn that ship when you don't have a moral authority, you know? And so, you got Colbert doing all this stuff. You got all these people that everybody's got their opinions of what should happen, but all of those are based on a relative moral authority that don't pretend to be the gospel of Jesus Christ and are up for interpretation based on who's is most convenient to the decision maker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or popular opinion. I mean, it goes back to... He brought up the fear thing.
Yeah.
He says, I watched...
You have a quote.
I watched Man from U.N.C.L.E. this weekend.
Yeah.
And this is a quote. There are only two masters in this world, fear and pain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that. But fear and pain, like, drives a lot about what we do. Jesus. It's the master. So what are you going to say? Sorry.
I don't even remember. With the Christians, this is Christians saying it. And so you have a lot of Christians saying, well, we shouldn't let them in. We should only let Christians in.
Yeah!
That's the pain behind it, because Colbert's making an informed... he's making an informed opinion, right? And it has been informed by the gospel in some form or fashion, I think, just about every worldview. Yeah, he is Catholic, and so many people who ultimately make claims, even though they deny Christ, have been influenced by the Christian worldview and perspective. And so they're making a slightly, I mean, let's let them in, but ultimately at the end of the day, they would deny Christ. So they aren't making it totally based off of their own little thing, but they have been informed by the Christian worldview. So,
and you know, I think it's interesting historically, like all mercy has been informed by the Christian worldview, you know? And so,
just make sure you're talking towards Mike and not James.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We are recording this. I don't.
Yeah, just touch your eyes.
No, I have one of those Blair Witch cameras that just tracks my face every time I turn somewhere.
That's great.
Sorry, keep going.
No, it is. You know, I mean, like, there's a book by, oh gosh, what's the guy's name?
Is it Nancy Ortberg?
No, I think it's John Ortberg, actually. Her husband, I believe, John Ortberg.
He only reads books by people with the last name Ortberg.
Yes, or anagrams of that name.
Oh, man.
His book's called Who Is This Man? And he goes through and talks about how just the historical trends that have been traced back to the life of Jesus and the impact that Jesus, the man, has had on the world.
Andy Stanley wrote that.
That is not Andy Stanley's book.
Andy Stanley give a talk on that, but keep going.
Andy Stanley must be like the Chris Tomlin of pastors then. Like where,
he just deals where,
I know, where every he writes the songs, but everybody else sings them.
Oh, man.
So, okay. That was definitely John Ortberg, by the way.
What page?
But anyway, he talks about just, you know, even the levels of how worldview, even secular and pagan worldview, has been shaped by the life of Jesus because of the way that he cared for people, the way he showed mercy to people, the way he pursued people. And so it is. I mean, it really is this. It's like, you know, it's almost like a, you know, you see the shapings of it. I had my wife made a spaghetti pie one time, and I took one bite of it and realized the whole layer of cheese on top was bad cheese, man. And it was like one bite, and I could tell it was sour. But it looked good. It looked the same. I mean, and people could make the argument that this is mercy, man. But it's convenient mercy. I think the world is okay with mercy that is convenient to them. Yeah. And so I just think this argument of whether or not you bring somebody in, or whether you don't allow them in, is. You know, I mean, I would be shocked if it ever got to the heart of Jesus.
Yeah, that's good. Wait, what got to the heart of Jesus?
It's like, I would be shocked if the argument ever got to what is actually the heart of Jesus for people.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, in the public realm, it's not going to happen. In church realm, I think it's easy for people in Evansville, Indiana to weigh in on this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, we're in the Midwest, man, you know, and it's just where it's all very, it's convenient mercy for us right now. Let them in. Right.
There was a Saturday Night Live skit this week. And it was called, Should You Chime In on This? And it was, did you see it? It was really good.
Oh, I want to write that skit so bad.
Yeah, because they're talking about the Syrian refugees, and there's this lady there, and he's like, okay, do you know anything about the Syrian crisis? I just looked it up on a map today, so I know where it is. He's like, okay, should you chime in on this? And she said, well, I don't know much about it. And I know I have a lot of opinions, so yes, I should. He's like, no, the answer is no. And then, like, he just brought up all these topics. Like, he's like, one was like, he's like a middle-aged man talking about women's rights and stuff. He's like, should you chime in on this? And he's like,
oh my god,
well,
goodness.
I do have this cool ponytail, like this little rat ponytail. And he's like, what? Where did you get that?
Is this real?
It was on Saturday Live, and they were just talking about should you chime in on these issues? And it was like, it was perfect because there's all these issues that people put on Facebook and stuff that they don't know anything about. And it's like,
no way, dude. They live in Omaha. You know?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So, again, not recommending that. But it was a very funny, like, and I like how they, because Saturday Night Live puts the satire on it and you're like, oh, you see it in a different light because they definitely were making fun of people that just weigh in on things that they should have no business. Kind of like we do on this show.
Yeah,
Again, convenient, right? It's just easy to talk about when you're in an office with air conditioning or heating in a room. Part of that's really tough too because, you know, it almost takes people away from a scenario though to help give the people that are knee deep in a perspective, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, so there is something about popular opinion and the democratic process that is healthy, you know, but it's, you know, a friend of mine says it's when people try to project on you
their preference. Right. I love that. You know, that how often are we those people, right?
Yeah, we're just trying
to project our preference onto somebody. It's not right or wrong. It's just preference most of the time. Yeah.
All right, it's time for one of my favorite segments on the show, Florida Foil Bowl.
See, that's the news I thought you were going to get at earlier. When you talk about news, or the world, like, I thought you were setting up, and then it'd be ironic because it's...
We went really serious for a start.
We did. We've been serious.
So Florida Foil Bowls, we talk about crazy stuff that happens in Florida.
Yeah, can't forget about them.
James, what happened this week?
Well, obviously Darth Vader is in the house. So Florida man in Darth Vader mask robs convenience store.
So... The opening line, this is great. Looks like the force came down on Darth Vader. The police force. That's a good. That's like an opening to like CSI.
Yes.
Looks like the force came down on Darth
Vader. Yeah.
The police force!
The hard look. The hard out.
Yeah.
And you ready for this? So there's a couple fun things. So he's dressed up. Here you go. He's dressed up like Darth Vader, of course. Why wouldn't you? But he forgot his lightsaber at home, so he brought a gun. I guess those are way more dangerous. I mean, I'd probably choose a gun.
Depends on how close they are.
I mean, in real life, lasers don't travel as slow as in Star Wars. Sorry, guys. But they're, like, at the speed of light. So.
But if it was, like, a real lightsaber that, like, it does what it does in Star Wars, it chops people's hands off. Like,
did he hurt anyone?
Yeah, a couple people died. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm not joking about this.
James, he got hurt. I know, right? So he tries to get out. He demands money from the clerk. The employee responds by chucking a jar of blue cheese dressing at the suspect.
Okay, all right.
I hope nobody died.
So how? First of all, so you're in a convenience store, right? Convenience store or a. Is that like a gas station?
Yeah, it's a convenience store. They're wearing a dark...
What's the difference between a gas station...
Convenient.
A gas station doesn't necessarily have to have a convenience store. It's like a rectangle. A square is always a rectangle, but a rectangle is not always a square.
But so is a convenience store part of the gas station? Or like, if you just had a convenience store without a gas station,
maybe Walgreens or something is like a convenience store, probably.
So I'm just wondering what convenience store just like stores blue cheese right next to the cash register.
Well, you know.
Somebody, that's a good point. That's
weird.
So, or maybe the guy, maybe
this
the
is
person.
Florida. This is Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Blue cheese right by the... you check it out? Hey, did you get your blue cheese?
What?
So he throws a jar of blue cheese dressing in the guy's face?
Hit Mercer on the face. That's the guy's name.
All right, so would you rather have a jar of blue cheese dressing or a gun in a fight?
Obviously, if I had a choice, I'd go with the dressing. It makes the news.
Yeah, so...
And he's got good aim. Or was it like, was it point blank? Can you imagine? You just... Bam!
Because I don't think it'd be expected. If I'm robbing somebody, I'm like, hey, I got a gun. Like, give me your money. He's like, let me... just get clocked in the face with a jar of blue cheese.
Is it a metal jar? What? I don't even know.
No, like, probably a glass jar.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Glass or plastic.
It's still going to be... Is that plastic you could grab? Yeah, that would, I don't know.
I'm throwing ninja dust at the same time.
Ninja dust. So he gets clocked in the face.
Yeah, and so a man inside the store who asked to be identified only as Ricardo.
I like this dude.
Witnessed the altercation and admitted being a little frightened by it.
So I imagine this is like an old white lady, and she's like, "I want to be known as Ricardo." it's just a man inside the store. Okay, an old white man is like, "Put me down as Ricardo."
Ricardo,
what's your name? T-Bone. Well,
which part was he frightened at? Was it the guy with the gun or the guy who got
hit in the face?
Yeah, the guy who chucked the thing. I don't know. That guy's throwing cheese. So he looked.
Yeah, they caught up with him though. His nose was bleeding. Like, this picture of the guy, he's got like a gash in his face from a jar of blue cheese dressing. Look, he's got he got clocked in the face. So, right, but this is not the only Darth Vader robbery. This has happened several times. In March, there was a man in North Carolina that robbed a place at gunpoint, and then in May.
Well, he's still on the loose. They're mixing him up. They don't even know. They're like, is that him?
Yeah, so he didn't make it. He didn't escape. The other two did, I think.
I don't know.
It doesn't say that they caught him. But
an undisclosed amount of cash. What do you mean? In May 2012, another man in Darth Vader mask robbed a bank in Toledo, Ohio, storming away with undisclosed... How do they... They don't know how much. Like, you know what? This is how we run our bank. Whatever.
It's undisclosed.
It's similar to the how many jelly beans are in the jar kind of thing. Yeah, like just guess. I mean,
it's all right. It's, you know, if you want some, just
they only spell accounting with one C, so it's okay.
Accounting with one C.
Oh,
so,
man.
Mike, if you were to rob a place. What kind of mask would you wear? This ever happens, would you go with Darth Vader? You're a big Superman fan.
I am, which means I would actually just take off my glasses.
Oh, there you go.
Do a little twirl, and you gotta make sure there's a little.
Thank you.
Okay, wait. Sorry, this is we're going off subject. So who cares? There's no subjects on Podcast We Finder. So you are a big Superman fan. Are you excited about Superman versus Batman?
I am, but I will tell you, there's a huge caveat on that. No. Time out. Don't judge.
TV time out.
TV time out. Zach Morris time out. I should have given it.
Oh.
So here's the deal. Okay, I was really burned by the 2006 Superman Returns with Brandon Routh.
Okay.
I remember July 26th that movie came out. Oh, maybe it was don't chart me on that. I think it was June 25th or 26th. Went to the midnight showing with my wife. And as soon as we left, I remember saying, oh, man, like, they made it. They did it right. They just made a good Superman movie. And then, like, 3 days later, I was like, that movie was horrible.
What happened to you?
Is this the sequel to that one?
Superman Returns. The one-off that they did where Kevin Spacey was Lex Luthor
the island.
Yeah, and Shaw.
That's a whole nother conversation about what's wrong with that mess. But,
you liked it at first.
No, I liked it, but it was like, you know, when, it was probably like, you know, if I was deserted on an island for several years and then like get back on and the first place I find is like Hardee's, like that meal's probably really good right then, you know? But then when I've like, you know, kind of had time to like kind of just, you know, digest it, let it marinate a little bit, I'm probably thinking differently. So that's what I'm saying. You know, it's been so long since I've seen a good Superman movie. I've been watching Smallville for 10 years. I thought it was a great show. So,
and it was only on five, so weird, right?
Watched it twice.
On DVR. So we had, anyway, that movie was horrible. So getting up to when they did Man of Steel, I was actually really excited about that movie. But the reason that I was always still skeptical going into it is because Bryan Singer, who is a great director, was the director of the 2006 Man of Steel.
Oh.
Or, I'm sorry, the 2006 Superman Returns.
Oh.
And I was so excited when he got called in to be the director, and he had done the X-Men franchise, and I just thought those were great superhero movies, very good movies. Not just like cheesy, but like good stories, right? And so I was like, this is amazing. You know, Bryan Singer is directing a Superman movie. This is going to be incredible. It was not. So when Zack Snyder then was announced as the director of Man of Steel, I had to hold my emotions at bay. You know, I got burned and
you don't get too excited about it.
I couldn't get too excited about it. But then the Chris Nolan films were great. You know, I saw Man of Steel and I really liked it. I mean, I think it had, I think it was very rewatchable. You know?
So I have not seen that one.
Yes.
Wait, what?
I haven't seen Man of Steel, so I need to watch it before.
No, yeah, I thought it was very rewatchable. And, you know, and so when they announced Man of Steel or when they announced Batman vs. Superman, again, I was hesitant. They have Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I'm not a huge fan of him. But
Jesse Eisenberg.
Not a huge fan. But I like the fact that what they're doing to build up into the Justice League. I thought Marvel's done such a good job with their movies, though, of kind of building these one-offs. But now they've gotten into these big things that it's just like, you know, you're not really sure these one-off movies. How there's a thing called Honest Trailers, which is really...
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay. So there's Honest Trailers for Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, and they say, like, when so-and-so from this other movie happens, the Avengers did not assemble. When this happened, the Avengers did not assemble. But when a tiny island in a tiny country that nobody knows about gets attacked, the Avengers assemble. And it's just hilarious, right?
Yeah.
So at least now what they're doing is DC is trying to build this universe that exists where all these people kind of exist, and then going off and giving them their own little things. So, you know, I'm excited about it. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm a superhero fan, so anytime that I get to see a superhero movie, I'm pretty okay with it. But I'm holding my breath.
So Batfleck, are you excited about it?
Indifferent. I think that like from the beginning of time.
What?
Oh, dude, come on. Okay, so listen. No, we'll go back to 1989. Michael Keaton. Okay, he's coming off of Mr. Mom, and nobody thought that guy was going to be anything as a superhero because he was. He was coming off of Mr. Mom, and he rocked, man. I still quote 1989 Batman.
It's the best.
It's fantastic, man. I mean, Ben Affleck, I got to tell you, I think he's made better film choices lately. I mean, we're a far cry from Geely.
Geely, no!
I know. Never actually saw it, but didn't have to, because I think the three people who did told me it wasn't any good.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Batfleck.
I'm okay with it too. Why don't you like Ben Affleck as Batman?
What? James? Who said that?
You just got mad at him for saying
he was in. I think he's gonna be great. I think.
So what were you disagreeing with me for?
Because you didn't give him enough credit.
I just explained to you my childhood stories of shame and Superman guilt. So you know why I'm hesitant towards going in and giving a full endorsement, but we'll see.
All right, James, it's time for. Goes the culture. Pop Goes the Culture. So we just look at the top movies this week, which was
Mockingjay, over $1 million.
$100 million.
Yeah, well, that's right. Over a million, isn't it?
It is over 100.
Well, thank you.
Over $100 million, which is a phenomenal opening for most movies, but it is actually the lowest opening the number in the series. Yeah, by about 20 million, I think. 20 million short.
Because the part two got 121 million within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know about the other ones. I didn't research those
yet. Yeah, part two, that would have been the most. That would have been the most, because 100 is about 20 million lower than the.
Where do you go next for your lowest. Source?
I don't know. What's that?
What's your source on this?
Oh, man. General news outlets. I look at darkhorizons.com pretty frequently. Dark Horizons. Good movie update site.
Movie updates. All right. So,
again, not endorsed.
Yeah. So Spectre's number two, Peanuts movie number three. So, the hungry dinosaur, what is it? The good dinosaur.
The good dinosaur. hungry hippo.
The dinosaur, and I said the hungry dinosaur.
He doesn't know how to read
I'm excited.
It.
Like, I love Pixar movies. You said it's got 83% right now on Rotten
Tomatoes. A little low.
But there's only
what did Inside Out have?
Six reviews.
Inside Out had 98.
See, I did not like Inside Out.
You're crazy. You leave. Go away.
My wife didn't like Inside Out. Why did you not like it?
Because I thought it had the biggest plot hole I've ever seen in a
movie.
What's
the plot hole?
Okay, so joy and sadness are coming along, right? And they've already left the central. What do they call it? Central Tower or something like that. We'll call it Central Tower. They've already left Central Tower. They get to the point where they find these two guys that are kind of cleaning up and putting these memories into long term memory, right?
Yeah.
Remember? And they had a thing where they could just push a button and up comes this, and they asked them, "Well, where do those go?" And they say it just goes up to Central Command. And so here are all these people. Do you remember this? I'm not making this up wrong. You'll have to go back and watch this and call me out on it. It appears that they could have then just said, "Hey, can you send these back to Central Command?" Bloop, in the little thing, whoop, back up, and problem solved. Then just joy and sadness needed to get back to where they needed to be.
Well,
but they didn't. But they said, like, "Oh, that's cool. You can send those back up to Central Command." And then they just kept on going. I mean, it literally, I spent the rest, that was like halfway through the movie, and I spent that halfway movie going, wow. And you know what affirmed it? There's also an internet show or a series called How It Should Have Ended.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That made it into How It Should Have Ended. They were like, really? Oh, we can get them up, and I was like, thank you. Finally, like, I've been affirmed.
Oh,
like,
man.
Okay. But I'll argue
besides
this.
Besides that, okay.
He's also mad because he's an educator, he's like, Shortcut, D-A-N-G-E-R. Shortcut. He's like, no! That guy obviously didn't go to ECS. No.
Maybe he did. Right.
So, but if joy, if anybody but joy touched him, they turned into.
No.
When sadness touched
yes,
him.
Yes, but like she could have set him in there. Yeah, and they would have gone right down to where they needed to be.
No, they wouldn't have gone to the core memories.
Yeah, they would have. Yeah, that's what they said. That's what.
I
go back
go
and
watch this movie.
No, because it says that, because they send it and it, like, you see the memories come in, but they don't go to core memories. So she had to make sure they got to core memories.
Yeah, but no, they sent them. They said it gets back up to Central Command where they could access them. And if they just,
right,
they just would go back and act. They just go back and get them from long term memory.
Who?
The emotions, joy, and
so joy and sadness would have sent them up there. But those people, the people in there, wouldn't have known that they were sending them up.
Man, Chris, you know it's a movie, right?
You're the one that's getting all moving out of it.
No, I'm not. I'm saying within the construct and within the world they built, they missed something huge. And I couldn't believe it. I just thought it was Bush League for a Pixar film. And others have picked up on it too. But it was nice to be like,
well,
again,
all wrong.
It was nice to be affirmed in my thought as I was watching it. Because I watched it and remember thinking like, but And then they like left.
No, wait, but they're, it's just showing how we overlook things in life. I mean, come on. You don't think you've ever like something obvious in your face and you're like, no, I'm gonna keep going.
Yeah, but like see? I don't get 3 years to animate my life. You know?
I'm excited about The Good Dinosaur. I love Pixar, everything they do.
It'd be all right.
Pretty much. I still have not seen Cars 2.
But well, that's it's good. Like nobody. It doesn't exist.
It does have one of my favorite lines of any Pixar movie, though.
Cars 2?
Yeah.
What is it?
Where Finn McMissile, in the great Michael Caine's voice, he goes, "My name is Finn McMissile, Special Intelligence." And Mater goes, "I'm Toe Mater, Average Intelligence." That's a great line.
That is a good line.
Oh, that's man. A great line. I gotta go watch it.
Line.
Intelligence.
That's,
yeah. Oh.
Tomato.
number one, still Adele in the billboards.
Yep, Adele. For
Hello.
She's gonna be a fan. Yeah, man,
Is that Hello? Is it me you're looking for?
I don't think it's that one.
I think that's Lionel Richie. I'm sorry.
Hello. Is there anybody in there? Oh, that's Pink Floyd.
Right.
I don't know. It's something.
We'll listen to it eventually.
Yeah.
Right
no, here. I've heard it. Yeah.
Obviously, it's not good enough.
Man,
for me to
she's got a great voice, Adele. Like, it's just powerful.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah. That was me humming a song. So
right. That was more Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Okay. Work on it.
Almost Adele.
That's good.
So,
I will tell you that I was going to get a CD the other day and somebody said, "What are you going to get?" And I said, "Dude, I'm getting Adele."
Oh, man. People over 30 will get that.
I expected you to be like a record person.
I'm straight digital. I'm MP3.
Really? You're
man.
Not like no you're very way. Hip though. You're a really hip guy, and I expected
straight digital.
Oh, man.
You don't want that quality sound of that vinyl. You just feel it. Like, oh,
convenience, man.
Yeah,
convenience.
Well,
so
but you saw a movie.
I saw The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Was it good?
I liked it. So it didn't get the greatest reviews, but it was. No.
It was funny.
It was better than that new Bond movie.
I'm kidding.
Did you see the new Bond? Did you like Spectre?
I did not see it yet. Okay. I've not seen it yet. I've heard it's a shade. I've heard it's a shade under Casino Royale, a shade under Skyfall, and definitely better than the one that
everybody hates on that
the Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace.
Yes. I think there was a song like. Somebody making fun of that. They were like making fun of
the quantum of science.
Yeah. He goes, it's the quantum
of... impersonation.
It's the quantum of who's it? I've forgotten it now. I can't remember as he's singing, he's like, can't remember what the name of the movie
is.
No,
I haven't seen it yet. I will see it. I reserve my theater going experience, though, for very special occasions, such as December 18th.
Yep.
Yes.
So, it was fun. Like, it was a fun movie. Yeah. There's a lot of comedy.
It did get a good review.
Are you back on U.N.C.L.E. or Spectre?
No,
the Man from U.N.C.L.E. I'm back on Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Time
so,
shift.
Yeah, but it's like a 60s spy drama, kind of like during the Cold War stuff.
Starring Henry Cavill from Superman from Man of Steel.
He could be a Bond guy, I think.
He's in it?
He's one of the main characters.
Oh, okay.
Him and Armie Hammer. Armie Hammer, trivia here, to go back to Batman and Superman. There's a movie originally called Justice, the Justice League Unlimited that they were going to make when, I think, I can't remember if Guillermo del Toro was going to direct it or not, but
ooh,
DJ Catrona was a guy who's going to play Superman, and Armie Hammer, the guy who played the Russian spy, was going to play Batman. In that movie, Henry Cavill, with the guy who plays, I guess he's a British or is he American in that movie?
He's American.
He's American. Yeah. It's Russian America. The American
spy. But he's really British.
He's actually British in real life, but he plays.
Is he really?
He plays Man of Steel. Yeah.
Henry's British.
Henry's British.
So he could be American. Bond.
So
James Bond.
Ooh, he might be a good one. But yeah, it was a fun movie. I mean, there is some content that's not appropriate, but
I'm not watching that.
There.
Oh, wait, he's the Lone Ranger.
I did like The Lone Ranger.
I know that movie
people didn't like it.
That was terrible.
Man,
Ranger.
At the very end when they're playing that music and he's riding the train, I'm like, yeah!
I didn't even get to the end.
It was so
boring.
Bad.
No.
It was so
bad.
What is this?
I know.
There's no emotional
attachment. It was
like,
so long. It was like boring. What in the world is Johnny Depp doing in that movie?
That's what I would say about this movie, though. The two like main spy guys are kind of mean to each other.
Yeah.
And that's where like the humor comes in. But like the main guy... the Man from U.N.C.L.E. or whatever. Like, he's just kind of a jerk. So, like, I don't like that. Yeah, Henry Cavill. So
don't watch it. No. Superman's really nice.
It's funny. Like, there's a couple, like, funny scenes. Just, I mean, it's like over the top kind of stuff at times.
Over the top spy.
Well, yeah. Well, like you're just watching, like,
ejecting seats from cars.
No, not that. Like, well, there's just a scene where the guy, like obviously would have died because there's like a boat chasing him, just like shooting, and they're like stuck in this small area, just going in a circle.
Right. No chance.
Yeah. And then the other guy, like, escapes, and he's sitting in a car eating a sandwich, and just you see in the background just this guy on the boat, like, and then the gunboat's coming around. It's actually really funny. He turns on the radio, and so it's like great music playing. It's Guy Ritchie that directs it, so he's always over the top and crazy. In his movies, yep. But I don't know what else he's done. I just know that name, Guy Ritchie. So it was a fun movie. It was, I mean, that's as far cool. as worldview stuff, I mean, it's just kind of, I mean, it's the same thing most movies, but it's like, just live your life how you want. Like, it's not, like,
that's not good.
Be chivalrous. Yeah, it's not good. I'm not saying that's a good worldview to have, but it's just kind of like, oh yeah, there's ladies, well, do stuff.
Wow, there you go. That's all you need to know. Like,
I ain't bailing you out of that. am I right?
All right,
am I right, guys?
Yeah, all right. Hey, you can
anyways,
scare him every once in a while.
Let's cheer long pause. That word got censored. All right, I do want to talk adoption as we end our show because a year, like, it was a year ago yesterday, we got home from China with our baby girl, Sunny, who's now 3. And, like, looking at pictures from her a year ago to pictures now, like, it doesn't look like the same kid. I mean, she's a lot fatter now. So, in a good way. Because, I mean, she was an orphan and so very much, like,
emaciated.
Yeah, not well-fed and all that stuff. And so, like, now getting, like, seeing her and just how she is, it's awesome. So, you're in that process right now, right?
Gosh, man, like, I'm nearing a percentage of my life having been in this process. It's been a long, long deal. We've been in it for about 4.5 years.
Yeah.
My wife and I started back in 2011 and decided that God had called us to international adoption. People ask, like, why not domestic? Well, I don't know. It's like, why is your favorite color blue? Like, I feel like God called us to international adoption. So
why do you buy foreign cars?
Right. Yeah. It's funny. It's a very prayerful decision. It's not like, do you go to Target or do you go to Walmart? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a very personal and very, I feel like heartfelt, prayer filled decision that we made. And so we went into the Ethiopia program, and, you know, when we started, it was an 8 to 14 month referral period. And that quickly just grew. I mean, there were so many things going on that honestly, it ended up growing to like a 36 to 42 month. And then finally, our adoption agency just said, you know, you should consider jumping to another program. And it was tough. Wow. We knew that was a possibility going in. So, I mean, you know, we're not ones that think about, like, oh, but what about all this money you've spent, man? Like, God is good and sovereign with that money. So I don't even care really where it went. But I don't understand adoption politics like that, honestly. Like, I don't understand how, it's very strange. And I know that some countries are kind of saying that they want to make sure that they are doing everything they can to take care of their own kids and everything. But, you know, it's hard to figure out how a stable family cannot go through that process of trying to give a child a life.
In
less than 5 years. I don't understand it. And I know there's more to it. Again, I'm not trying to be sacrosanct in it or anything like that. I might have to look that word up. I'm not sure I used it correctly, but I'm not trying to sound, you know, anything more than, it's just, I know the kids are out there. I just know that, you know, and, you know, it's funny, perhaps it's us who have, you know, when you go into adoption, you have to check this. You have this checkoff list of things that you would be willing to accept.
Oh, yeah. That was the hardest part.
That's the hardest thing. Like, you know, and it's all things about, like, you know, a cleft palate or...
So are you going special needs? Things.
No, we're not.
Okay.
No, we're not. But a friend of mine, we asked a friend who was adopting, we said, like, how do you fill out this, really the equivalent of a child preference form?
Yeah.
I mean, it's uncomfortable. It basically commoditizes humanity, human beings, you know?
Yeah.
And so I could have been putting together a computer. And I said, how do you fill this out? And she said, you know, you do it honestly, where you feel like you are with your family, and then you feel guilty about it. I was like, that's about right. You know, that's about right.
Yeah. So for us, like in the China adoption, like we went the special needs route, and it was, to fill out that form, because you're like, What if they don't have arms or legs? I'm like, no. Like, yeah, and you have
like
to.
I have love to give, but only to certain kids. And that is a heart wrecker.
And the box for Syrian refugee was on there,
right?
No, wow. I'm just kidding. But you're like, okay, financially, could I afford like to give this child the best care? Like where we live, like, I mean, will our house accommodate? Like there's all those things that you have to ask.
It's hard. Yeah. And to bring it back to an earlier theme, it's coming face to face with this idea again of convenient mercy. Like the thing, like, what are you willing to give that's not outside your comfort zone? Mm-hmm. You know, it's why, you know, people, you know, might tithe 5%, you know, because 10 is asking too much, you know, and I don't know. I mean,
God doesn't need it.
Man, it is just, that still is something that I really struggle with having filled out. Now we filled it out twice because we moved from the Ethiopia program to the Ghana program.
Okay.
Which is where we currently are and feel like this, like it'll move sometime in the next, probably hopefully by this next summer would be great. But it was definitely a moving program through Bethany Christian Services. And so, you know, we've given her the name Nora. And so my boys.
So you know it's gonna be a girl.
Have you seen
pictures?
Like, no, we don't have a referral. Yeah. We don't have anybody. But we also know that, I mean, the Bible says, you know, that God knew your name before you were born, right? That you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Like my daughter is out there somewhere, you know. But also she is out there only because her family and she has experienced tragedy. So it's hard to be proud of, like, I'm adopting, you know? I mean, like, it's just not about that. There's so much tragedy that happens around that stuff. Right. People always say, well, good for you. And it's like, man, it's expensive, it's inconvenient. And the only thing I can say, though, is that, like, God has given us this heart to go do it. So, you know, who knows? And then he's asked us to be patient for 4.5 years with it. So it's just been
So do you know any timeline stuff now? Or
no, okay. No. I mean, I expect that. Well, we would know probably something by the summer, maybe. Yeah. But even that's just because I'm trying to guesstimate timelines of what they've told us, and things can certainly change.
Yeah, and so you know, with us, like, I mean, you said the thing about the name, like my wife wanted to adopt, like, I think, like, as early as middle school or early high school, mm-hmm. and so when we started dating,
my wife,
like,
the same thing. That's crazy.
She's like, I want to adopt a little girl from China, and like we actually had her name picked out before our 4-year-old Quincy. Like, so Sunny, her name, like, we knew her name. She's like, we're naming our Chinese. I was like, all right, in high school, man, like, we were talking about adoption. Like,
can I tell you what a great, just like, this is a crazy story. Okay, so the day after my wife and I decided that we were going to name our daughter Nora, the day after we had made that decision together internally in our home, the next day, that next day, I got a Facebook invite from somebody named Nora Allen. Okay, and I was like, I mean, I was driving up pulled into my in-laws' parking lot, what's that thing you park out of the house?
A garage.
Driveway. There you go. Yep. Sorry.
Parking lot.
Yeah. In America, we have these things called driveways. So, I looked at it and said Nora Allen. I looked at it and I messaged this person. I said, I'll give you the story later, but why did you friend request me, you know? And she said, I don't know. I like to friend request people that have my same last name. Allen. Might as well be Smith. You know what I mean? So it just was bizarre. And I ended up telling her the story. And she was like, wow, that is really kind of cool. But it was kind of scary, you know? I mean, like, when you feel like you are walking in line with what God has for you, one, it helps put all of the frustration in perspective, but also it puts that patience of getting there also in perspective as well. My wife and I were just talking the other day about authors, and like, when you're going through hard times, you know, like, we as the reader of the story get the opportunity to see these, like, to get to see the conflict and the resolution play out, you know, just over some committed time to watching. But like, when God's the author and we're the people whose stories he's telling, we don't try and tell the author what to do. We just try and, like, live the story. And it really has been it's been a great exercise in just trusting God's timing and all this stuff, and trusting that there's a life over there he's got waiting for us.
So before I even really knew you, we came to your concert because my sister-in-law and your wife are kind of friends.
And she's back in town, actually. I think we're gonna see her like this week or something,
for a few weeks. So So we got invited through that to this concert, and you were like in a barbershop quartet or something.
Wow. It is a southern a cappella gospel quartet.
Yeah.
It's called Vocal Union. VocalUnion.net.
So,
actually, it's .com, I think.
Yeah, so that...
I do endorse that.
So I knew you before that. But,
oh, wow, I knew you before. No, but
so something like... So with the adoption process, it is National Adoption Month. That's what we're talking about this. But
And that was like... That concert was like 3 years ago. That's crazy. I mean, seriously. Yeah. It was like... Yeah, it's a long time ago.
And that was... See, that's maybe right when we were
starting. It was right when I started. It was August of 2013. So it was... Okay. No, it was 2.5 years ago.
So... but the thing... So will you get like a portfolio of different people? Like, will they like say, hey, here's a possible match?
They'll say... There'll be one. Here's a possible match. You know, we have had our home studies. We have talked extensively with people. People who know us. People who know what boxes we checked, right?
Did you have to go to Louisville to get your...
Multiple
thumbprints?
Times. Yeah, yep, that's so dumb. Because, well, it is weird because in 2015... There's no way to get your thumbprint to Louisville.
Yeah, I know. You have to drive to Louisville to get your thumbprint. Like,
and literally, you drive 2 hours there. You spend 10 minutes getting thumbprinted. Then you got the rest of the day.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
Like, you know what? Party. Siri has my thumbprint on my iPhone. So, and you're telling me the government can't take it from that.
You got your special dust over there that's gonna like pick up my print.
So that was the thing. Like people asked me about when we were adopting. Like when you saw the picture, like did you know? And I'm like, I didn't like because that's what I was expecting, right? I was expecting like look at this and be like, this is my daughter, yeah. Like like you're expecting that, but then you look and I'm like, that's a Chinese kid, like,
right?
No, and you're like, okay, and it was the same. Like as I prayed about it, I was like, okay, Lord, is this our daughter? Is this the one that we're like? And he's like, you know what? It's an orphan. Like, take care of the orphans and widows in their distress, right. And keep yourself from being polluted from the world. Like, but it was just that reminder of like it's gonna be okay. Like whoever, like God's gonna work it out. And so like we've been praying about this kid, but God knew her plan long before we did. And so it was cool. Like it's so funny because like a lot of her personality traits are similar to mine. Like she's really laid back about stuff. She's real goofy, like just a funny kid, and it's just great to like watch her grow and just to see like it was like she was meant for our family. It was just cool to watch that. The other thing, like you also think like when you pick up the kid, it's gonna be like, oh, they're gonna run into your arms. I don't know. Wait, what age group are you going?
Two to five.
Okay, so we had said 18 months and younger. Sunny was a little bit older than that, but when we started the process, Quincy was still really young, so we didn't want to. Like we didn't want a kid.
You
want
to mess the birth order.
Yeah. Yes. So that's when murders happen. So just kidding. So we go real dark.
Talk about murder a lot here.
Radio edit.
Yeah.
Right.
So, So you think like, oh, it's gonna be this like great like, ah, we're your new parents. And they're like, yay! They speak English, and it's a this great moment. But you're like we get there, and she's like frightened out of her mind because one, she like drove in a car. Probably for the first time in her life, for like 3 hours away from her orphanage. And I don't know if there were, I think like some of the people that cared for her or caretakers at the orphanage were there, but I don't know if there was any kids with her there. And then like we take her, and then she's like, oh, I don't, yeah. You know,
can
I mean,
you imagine?
Well, she was like 2.5 at the time. And because I was thinking of Quincy when she was 2.5, I mean, she knew people's names. She would like,
can you imagine? I cannot imagine.
So it was a traumatic, like even like the first couple of days, it's like, she's just kind of like, okay. Like, I mean, she would laugh and play with us and stuff, but you're still like, what is she thinking? Because you know it's like this crazy experience.
Well,
like,
yeah, I mean, it's not, you're not ordering from Jimmy John's. You know what I mean? And that's the reality of it. But that's what I think makes it so hard is you can see, you know, you see these, you see the adoptions sometimes, you see the wait times and how long it takes. You have to stay over there. I mean, like, you know, certain times you have to stay over there and others. And you know, you see these people that should have, I mean, like, it is a traumatic experience for a kid.
Yeah.
Period. Like they know, again, they've been inside this womb and they're born and they are automatically already tied to a human being that may never be in their life again.
Yeah.
And that at whatever age, I don't care who you are, man, it doesn't, because you can't talk doesn't mean that you're not traumatized by that. And that is scary for me. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to expect there except, you know, I'm scared to death of getting over there and being there for, you know, 7 days and then having to come home and not go back and get her for like 3 months, you know.
Oh, that happened.
Yeah, that's what's gonna have to happen for us. We have to go there twice.
So you go meet
we go meet and do our court paperwork stuff, then we come back.
Will you get to meet her at that point?
Oh yeah.
Oh. And you come back and you have to wait 3 months.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be rough. We for China, we just went over 2 weeks and we're back. Yeah. 2 weeks? Yeah.
Yep.
Not a long not 2 weeks when you have a 4-year-old and a, or no, a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Guaranteed.
But, yeah, so that would be, I don't know. I mean, that might be, I like, yeah, the government stuff, like what they make you do, you're like, I don't know why you're making us do this, but
you know,
so will your whole family go?
Just my wife and I
for the 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Or 7 days.
7 days, 5 to 7. It might end up being a little bit more than that, but my wife and I will go, and depending. Yeah. I mean, like there's so much depending. It depends on the time frame and stuff and when they go and when they have to go, but
that's awesome. Yeah. And adoption's great though. I mean, there are like, there are things that are weird about it and all that stuff, but it's an awesome process. And
you know, it's like, yeah,
looking back, you're like, okay, I would go through that discomfort again.
My 7 and my 5-year-old both are. I mean, it's just to me, to me for them, it's also an opportunity to say, hey, man, like, you know, not everybody is born here. Not everybody's born into a family. You know, I mean, the way that God designed family to be. You know, and this picture of his family, that you don't just turn your eye and ignore it. You don't just run to convenience all the time. You know, and so just to be able to know them and start teaching them about this other culture, and you know, we've got these map things at home that we're always looking and showing where, you know, where Ghana is. And
I had to look up Ghana because I didn't know.
Oh yeah, man, it's in the armpit, north just east, just west of the armpit bend there in Africa.
So,
but it's actually the most it's an official language is English. It's the kind of the most English.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of the most English country actually in Africa. So it's exciting, but it's also like anything, it's the patient game. Yeah.
Awesome. So happy National Adoption Month to you, Mike, and
you.
Everybody out there
you
listening
too, Chris.
That's adopted or in that process. It's a great process. And I mean, as you said, like if you got the means and or got a loving family, then consider it.
We've written the heck out of some grants too.
We got grants. And then that was always cool too. Cause we're like, all right, how are we going to get this money? And then like somebody from the church would be like, hey, I know you guys are adopting. What do you need? And we're like, here's like a bill we have to cover, and they're like, oh, we'll cover it. I'm like, awesome. Like,
unbelievable.
So it's really cool just to see in those
the
moments,
body at work.
Yeah, how you pray. So, hey, man, we're out of time. We try to get this podcast shorter. It never happened. So, thanks so much. The podcast shorter, but we've been going an hour. I don't know if you know that or not. But, hey, thanks for being a part of the show today.
Yes.
Yeah, gosh, James.
Man.
So,
Thank you.
Today's episode is brought to you by the word sacrosanct, which means regarded as too important or valuable to be interfered with. So that's the word you used.
I think
earlier.
I did use it correctly then.
Okay, I don't remember what sentence you used it in. But
Uber, yeah, I think
Uber.
Uber religious. Uber? I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were like, I got to go because I got an Uber drive. So, all right, I don't know why you brought that up. All right, hey, thanks for tuning in. I'm Chris.
I'm James.
And I am Mike.
We'll see you next time.
Podcast.